Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining me as usual, Aki. How are you doing?
I am alive.
How are you really doing?
Well, debatable. Debatable. Very debatable. On one hand... Okay, I guess...
You're doing great really... because we have a guest joining us today.
That has improved my mood.
Eventually, Jacob will show up here, but it's showtime and he's not here, so we're starting without him. Okay. And in his place, we have our good friend Ryan Niemiller joining. Ryan, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. My new nickname is Better Jacob because I'm actually here. So yeah,
that is progress over him.
Now, if only we could get
him.
You on every week, then that would be perfect.
Yeah, this was step one of my plan to slowly squeeze him out. Bye.
I mean, here's step one of the plan for you. Be here every Thursday. There you go. You've just bumped him out.
It starts with me being on time, and then as he gets later and later, I start being like, that's really disrespectful of your guys' time, right? And then eventually, you just turn on him, and you kick him out. I make it seem like it was your idea, and then I start taking over from the inside.
Oh, it's been my idea to kick him out since I got here, so that's, you know, it's fun.
Oh, well, let us join forces. We can turn on each other later, but for now, yes, we have a common enemy. So we'll work together, get rid of him, and then we will fight it out later.
That works. I'm for this.
I know. Perfect. I know Aki's new enemy.
I know. Twitter? Is it Twitter?
Yeah. Twitter. Aki, how's things with Twitter? I hear something went wrong.
Well, you know... Yesterday, I spoke out against a world leader who was abusing their power and putting women basically in another set of chains. And I spoke out against that in favor of the women. And my Twitter was permanently suspended over the night while I was sleeping.
So, have you been suspended before?
Probably, but they've only been temporary once. This one's permanent. This is an indefinite.
The permaban. That's impressive. Yeah. Even if unfair, well done. I feel that should be everyone's dream one
Make
day.
Sure you list it on your resume.
Yeah. Like, on one hand, I'm kind of okay with it because Twitter is a fucking cesspool of the worst of humanity. So that entire site just burning to the ground wouldn't bother me that much. But on the other hand, Twitter is also very fucking addictive. And now I don't know what to do.
That's also like the only way we knew how to credit you for your reviews.
I know, right?
Yeah, because you say that you have a else. Facebook account.
No, I deleted that.
Oh, well. Yeah,
well, shit. We're just going to tell, like, carrier pigeons
I'm just gonna make
that
up
you did
shit
a review
now.
And send them out.
Yeah, just list it by my name. It's fine. I have a blog spot or something fucking somewhere, I think. Yeah. I don't know.
Fucking a blog spot somewhere?
Sure, we'll go with that.
I'm leaving a blog spot somewhere.
So, like, on one hand, I'm kind of okay with it because, I mean, Twitter is a fucking cesspool, so yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. On the other, I was going to say, it's unfortunate getting banned if you're just kind of speaking your mind, but there is something sort of deep down in my heart that wishes I got banned, so I would just have a reason never to have to go back there again.
Exactly! Exactly!
Twitter's an abusive relationship. Like, I rarely leave so having bad. A good time, but, like, I can't quit it. So if I got permanently banned for something, at least I'd be like, okay, that's the ripping the Band-Aid off. We're done.
Every time
video game giveaways for me to want to leave it.
Yeah, that's been one of my main calls to want to be there, actually. I'm terrible. Every time I've been temp suspended for like a week or a day or whatever, I've used that as just a good excuse to not have to fucking log in. And I found that after, you know, if it's been a couple days, I find I'm always much happier by the time I go back to it, because I haven't been on it in so long. So I'm hoping that this is, whatever. I have put in an appeal, but I also know how Twitter is. They very ever have a human actually look at the appeals. It's usually a fucking robot that just says, oh no, you did what I claimed you did.
Yeah,
because I am a robot.
It'll re-look through it and find the one word that pissed it off to begin with, and that word's still there, and there you go.
Yeah. <That's- laughs> Like, there wasn't even an option for me to, like, delete the tweet or anything. They just said, no, you're permanently suspended. Fuck you. I'm like, okay.
That is impressive. Whatever. Like, that's dedication, yeah. Really, when you think about it. Like, you worked hard for that one.
Every time I've been suspended, it's always been for calling out a fucking U.S. politician or some fucking neo-Nazi prick that are spreading fucking hate.
It's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Yeah, I'm not nice about what I say. If someone's a fucking dumbass, I'm like, you're a fucking dumbass. And that gets me in trouble every fucking time.
Usually on Twitter, like, I get messages saying, like, usually this isn't considered polite conversation when you're talking to, Representative Matt Gaetz or Lauren Boebert about their, ridiculous fucking shit that comes out of their mouth.
Yep.
Yeah.
Boebert, so, I've had so many things that I've said to that dumb bitch. Jesus.
Yeah.
She's so stupid. Oh my God.
I got, the closest thing I've ever gotten to that, I got a 7-day, I got put in Facebook jail for 7 days.
Oh.
Because...
bad boy.
Well, because I shared because on multiple white supremacist Facebook accounts, I posted a picture of this graffiti image of Adolf Hitler shooting himself in the head. Follow your leader.
Yes, that's fantastic.
So there's that, and then also, and this was the dumber one too. I was told I can't go live now because of this. I've never tried it, so I don't know if it was like a temporary thing. But so at Christmas time, I found this stock photo of this guy with a Santa Claus hat on, and he is shirtless and he's like pinching his nipples. And the thing is, this is a stock photo from like Getty or like,
I know the exact picture you're talking about. I think.
Yeah. So I shared it with a bunch of friends, like, haha, Merry Christmas. Like all this other kind of shit. And like, we're all like having like a good laugh, completely fucking forgot about it. 4 years later, Facebook is like, yo, this is offensive and sexual. Like, you can't post for like a few days. And I'm like, the fuck? Like, you went back this far? Like,
it's what they do. I mean, they compile all this information specifically so they can fuck people in one way or another. That day, that was just the way they decided they wanted to bend you over.
Yep.
Ryan, how's the system abusing you lately?
I just want to say that I'm a good boy who's never gotten in trouble on the internet because I have very respectful conversations.
I somehow don't believe
how many controllers you can fit in your ass.
Yeah, like that's a victimless crime right there.
That's it really depends on what kind of controller you're talking about.
Consents to having controllers shoved up their ass.
It's my ass. I consent. Of course I do. Part of it is based on my pseudo celebrity. I've kind of stopped, and I just write jokes and promote shows and talk video games and wrestling occasionally. That is the extent of what I do on social media anymore.
Do you ever have issues where, like, you cross a line and people are pissed at you about a joke that you make, and you're like, I didn't think that was a line that was,
Yes. So the couple times it's happened, like, If you want to just talk to me one-on-one about my politics, I have very strong opinions. But comedy-wise, though, I know it's not worth the headache to be like, fuck Trump or fuck Biden or whatever, because it's just the discourse does not help me in any way. It doesn't help me sell tickets, so I usually don't worry with it. But anytime that I have posted political jokes, it has been the most harmless version of jokes. Like, I made fun of Donald Trump saying I was jealous of him for having the Diet Coke button that he allegedly had. which honestly, for all the silliness of Donald Trump, that's actually like, that's harmless. That's a pretty like, I would do, I would have like a fucking Mountain Dew button in here if I could. Like, I get it. So I kind of, I poked fun at that a little bit. And people just get so militant about their devotion to whoever that they'll be like, I'll fucking kill you. And you're just like, man, for the Diet Coke button? That's the one that got you? I remember I made a joke when Biden got inaugurated, how he was like, you know, the Bible he swore in on was like, you know, a old family Bible. And I made a joke. I was like, oh, they said his Bible is from 1822. He's had that since he was 7 years old. Some kind of joke like that, just implying he's super old. Oh, now you're ageist? I see. You're just like, man.
Oh, God.
That's like, one of those, like, you're looking to be offended.
Yeah, I'm like, if those are the type of jokes that are getting you, you're going to have a bad time. I think there are comedians that deserve to be called out, because I don't think you can just say whatever you want and not expect some blowback. But, like, man, you got to pick your battles. That's all I say, man. Like, that's pretty harmless in the grand scheme of political discourse. So I just stopped doing it. It's not worth the... It just rises my blood pressure and makes me unhappy as a human.
That's fair. Politics does that to everyone.
I just rather keep shoving things up my ass and playing video games and watching wrestling. And
so, now, the controllers you shove up your ass, do you use those to play video games?
I mean, yeah, I'm not made of
with
money.
With your tongue? Man.
I'm not made of money, all right? Like, I'm doing better than I used to.
That's your defense.
I was going to say, man, it's fucking... with inflation the way it is, you kidding me? You think I'm just... You think I have controllers only for my ass?
Don't shove that one up my ass. That's the good controller.
That's the Mad Cat one.
You can shove that one up my ass, but please don't keep it in the box, all right? That's a collector's item.
The real question is, how many N64 controllers sit up there?
Last I checked, 4 or 5, I think. Nice. With those, the trick is it's the angles. It's not the size. You have to get them to interlock.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
SML podcast listeners.
The image for the episode is just going to be an N64 controller.
just banana linked.
Yep. What you should do is grab the picture of the goatsy and just cover the
whole
with the controller.
Are you fucking crazy?
Yes.
I mean, she just got banned from Twitter, so probably.
Use goatsy.
If that's an image you want to make, by all means, but I will not.
It's like Jacob fucking name dropping Tub Girl the other week. Like, what the hell's wrong with you two?
Yeah.
Name dropped her.
I'm just going to say, I'm not going to be retweeting this episode.
I understand. Fully understand. Remember, so I leave for a few minutes, and when I get back, all I hear is, you can shove it up my ass.
I mean, if anyone has followed you for any amount of time, anytime I'm on the show, there's going to be some ass play. Yeah. That's just how this works.
Oh, Jesus.
What I was going to say is you should try to find a picture of a muddy N64 controller and use that as the image for the episode.
So, Ryan, right. How's the stand-up thing going?
It's going all right. It's going all right. I've had a couple weeks off here, so I've been just enjoying being home. Protecting my home from fire. So one of those big California wildfires. It's the closest one I've had so far since I've lived out here. I could see it from my backyard, which was fun. To give you an idea of just how my priorities are slightly skewed in the grand scheme of life, I was away when the fire started coming. I had shows in Tampa, and I called my wife, and I was like, here's the priority of things that you go protect. Number one, yourself. Number two, the dog. Number three, here is a list of 10 video games I want you to grab. Get out of there. And she was like, what, you don't want to grab like your passport or like anything like
that? Fuck a passport. No, that can be replaced.
I was like, I'll make that happen. I can't easily replace my copy of Panic Restaurant. All right. I'm going to need you to go ahead and grab that for me. And because I love her and she loves me, she had a bag waiting for me when I got home. It was all set up
with all the valuables.
Yep, all the things I requested. So it was very sweet.
What else is on that list?
tickets.
So the stuff I had her grab, it was mostly the pricier stuff. So it was Panic Restaurant and DuckTales 2 for NES.
Ooh.
I have sealed versions of Devil's Third and Book of Unwritten Tales 2 for Wii U, which have gotten really pricey. My complete inbox copy of Link to the Past, because it's my favorite game ever. Nice. So there's a lot of stuff like that.
Damn.
What you should do is you should just make an entire room that's just pure, made out of pure metal, and put all your stuff in there and make it fireproof.
Well, I mean, if it's metal, it might eventually melt, though. See, what Ryan needs to do is just fill it with asbestos.
There we go. That's fine.
And then just hang out and then make that his man cave, too. I'm sure nothing bad will happen in the next 20 to 30 years.
No, I've, and if it does, hey, I've had a pretty good run.
Yeah.
You, though?
Life's pretty good. I have a copy of Panic Restaurant. I was on TV a couple times. My wife seems to like me.
With us, so.
Like, yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not saying I'm at my peak right now, but I've had a pretty good run.
I think Stagorilla is going to have a run of dropping bits in the chat. He's dropped one bit and then two bits. So we will see how far this one goes. The last chain made it into
dropping bits.
There's three.
Yeah, Stag, I'm permanently suspended from Twitter. So actually no Stag on Twitter.
Also got to give a shout out to Victor who dropped a sub in chat earlier before we started the show. Kylesia or Kalzia, or I don't know how you say the name, but they subbed earlier today just to get our emotes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's cool. So that Xbox achievement emote I made is paying off with one sub.
Very nice.
So one sub, you didn't have much money now?
There were three people talking at once.
No.
Okay, two people talking at once.
Mine was most important.
Yes, I'm just Ryan, saying. You talk first.
As the guest and Hollywood superstar, Ryan Niemeyer, my opinion does matter more. I was just going to say, hey, with that emote, that's one sup you didn't have.
Exactly.
So that made you, what, 250?
Yep,
is that still the rate?
That's my, I don't know, I don't get payouts. That requires multiple subs.
I got nothing for you there then.
Okay. Yeah, it's not fun. Your special, did anything go on with the special? Is that still being shopped around? Is it still being edited? Is it still being
shopped around? I do finally have, I've gotten the copy of it where I can see it now. It had taken a little time to get finished because the weekend I filmed mine, they filmed, I think, four or five other ones as well. And I don't even know what the project they're working on, but my manager, who kind of funded the filming of the special, they work with much bigger acts than me. So she's been working on other projects that took a little bit of priority, but it is close. It is close. I have no idea when it's actually going to be up to see, but we're further than we were last time we talked, which is good for me. There had been no forward momentum for a while.
How exactly can I steal it from you directly so I can just watch the thing? Is like Mission Impossible? Do I have to come in from the roof?
I mean, you could probably just, you know, we were friends. You could have just invited yourself to my house and then got on my computer. But if you want to drop from the roof... I would prefer that.
If I'm going that far, I gotta do something cool. Like,
okay, well, in that case, yeah, I will. I'll leave one upstairs window strategically unlocked, and if you can get through it, I will let you watch the special.
That is fair. Challenge accepted.
There we go. I think because I've seen you. I don't know what your climbing skills are like, but I feel
I have none.
If you can get into an upstairs window, you've earned it.
I don't think I could get into a downstairs window.
Fair. You sound like me. If I ever go through a window, it's because I've fallen through a window. That is. or I've been forcefully thrown through it.
Through one window, or
the
other.
Yeah.
That's fair. You expect something with that like mid next year, maybe? Or like early next
Hoping early next year. It just depends. I think they're trying to shop all of them that were filmed as like a package. So I think that's kind of holding it up a little bit. But at the worst case scenario, it's going to happen. It'll be up on my YouTube.
Nice.
It is going to see the light of day. I just don't know exactly when yet.
Were they all filmed at the same place? Like, was it you and a bunch of other comedians doing like one big long ass show every day?
It was over the course of a weekend, but yes. So it was in December in Zany's in Nashville, which is one of my favorite clubs in the country. So the first night, three other people did it. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Well-Read Comedy Tour. So it's Trey Crowder, Corey Ryan Forrester, and his name always escapes me. It's not on top. Drew Morgan. So they filmed theirs the first night, and then myself and Brent Terhune filmed the second night.
Nice. That's a lot of comedy to watch.
It is, yeah. If you want to watch all five, I would recommend. I think you should watch those guys anyway, regardless of their specials get released or not. But yes, it was a lot of comedy. It was a fun weekend. I'm happy with the special. It's just a matter of if anyone with a checkbook was also happy with it and wants to give me some of their money.
Fingers crossed. Are there any comedians that like you're watching right now that like have your attention?
Honestly, no. I always hate getting asked that question merely because like,
I'm so glad I asked it.
Thank you. It makes me love you. Like I love comedy, but like when it's your job, it's hard to like casually want to like watch it. If I'm like off, I don't want to like be on Netflix or I'll watch when my friends are like on the Tonight Show or whatever. You know, if someone gets like a cool thing like that. But generally speaking, I don't watch comedy for fun anymore.
Just for notes.
I got too many like videos.
Don't use this camera angle.
Exactly. Talk about my wiener more.
More dick jokes. That should be the name of the special. More dick jokes.
That's what the people want.
Exactly.
I agree. Dick jokes make the world go round.
They want dick jokes and more things up my ass.
Ass.
Right up my ass. That's how I say it. It's my catchphrase now. Put it in my ass.
All the dick jokes. That's where they go.
Put the dick jokes in my ass.
I can't wait to watch your special and you actually use that. Put it in my ass.
Yeah. It's like my really bad Kennedy impression.
Ladies and gentlemen, put it in my ass. Put it
in my ass. Ask not what your country can put in your ass. Ask what you can put in your country's ass.
This is awful. What games are you playing these days?
What am I playing these days? I've been playing some different stuff. Since the last time we spoke, I've started a video game podcast as well. I know. Me and my buddy Joe Bates, who's a funny comedian, he's out of New York City now. It's called the Video Game Pizza Party. So we eat pizza and we play video games. So I've been playing that a lot of stuff
very
for that.
Complex.
Yeah, it's very intense. It's very highbrow, very intellectual. Your listeners probably wouldn't even understand. Nah. It's people who follow you. So what I've been playing recently, I've been playing a lot of Golf Story. I finally gotten around to playing that, which I really enjoy. Out of pure spite, I'm still grinding away at Solitaire 3D. Because I told our good buddy Carnage that out of spite, I would finish that eventually. So I'm still working on it.
He actually checked your achievement progress during a stream. We were talking about you and Solitaire came up because we had another game that came in that we got like a shitload of codes between a few of us. And we were joking that was going to be the new Solitaire and we're going to have to give that to everyone. And he checked your achievement progress in Solitaire, and you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I'm getting there. It's very grindy. Like, and there's worse things to grind than Solitaire. Solitaire is a fun game, but like, I put way too much time into this just out of sheer stubbornness,
just spite at this point.
Yeah.
What's this new game that you got a ton of codes for?
I don't remember. We'll figure it out. I'm not gonna say because that's not that. I don't know.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, I welcome. I'm sure the people challenge.
People will be able to tell when we have giveaways for this game for like a month and a half straight.
Yeah.
But
we have 400 codes available.
Who wants a code? Good. You got one. You got one. You got one. You got one. Jacob, I'm pretty sure you got one. So.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, I've got like 1,600 Xbox games now, so that's not a
fancy.
That's not particularly helpful in telling me which game it might be.
Fancy. It's the expensive one, I promise you. Carnage dropping codes in chat. Look at that.
Yeah, attaboy, Carnage. I welcome you torturing everyone else as you torture me.
I hope that's a solitaire code.
No, I'm gonna, you know, whenever I finish solitaire, I am coming back on the show to celebrate. We will have a solitaire completion party.
Absolutely. No, that'll be like the end of an era.
Yeah. Like, it's one of those things, like, I've been working on it for so many hours at this point. It honestly scares me a little bit to finish it. I'll feel this weird empty void in my heart. From because I like it's been this like weird mission I've had to finish this fairly average solitaire game. Like, it's fine, but it's, you know, it's solitaire. How many bells and whistles can you put on it? But like, once it's finally done, I'll be like, okay, did I really just put 700 hours into this out of sheer spite for Carnage?
Like, where does life go after that?
Why has my wife not left me yet? How do I still have a career?
Have you ever talked about solitaire in your stand-up routine? And if not, can you?
I think I need to. Once I finish this, I feel at least 5 minutes. If I've put, you know, 700 hours into the game, I can devote 5 minutes of my act to it, right?
I just want to watch a stand-up special one day, and here you go, fuck you, Carnage.
It's a very pointed bit that no one will understand
except exactly
for four people.
You drop one F-bomb in the whole special and it's just to say fuck you, Carnage.
Yeah, there it is. It's the only time I piss off all my AGT fans over it.
Now, I've seen you live. You are a little edgier than you were on AGT.
Correct.
Do audiences have an issue with that, or are they like all on board with you talking about your dick?
Some do, but like, they're going to have that issue anyway. You know, it's very strange to me. I address it at the beginning of my set, because I don't want it to be a surprise. And if anyone ever asks me, you know, because I get a lot of people who are like, hey, I wanted to maybe bring, you know, my 12-year-old kid. Is this show appropriate for that? And I'll be like, hey,
no!
Basically, it's like, well, what I do on stage, I don't think I'm vulgar at all. Like, I'm not doing anything that's like over the top vulgarity, but I grew up in a trailer park in Indiana. My first word was fuck. I can't help that. You know, that's my roots. That's where I grew up. So, and
I'm so sorry.
And at this point, it's 3 years removed from AGT. If people are still pissed about it, like, they haven't done their research. I have clips online that are dirty. I don't go out of my way to piss anybody off, but I'm just going to do my thing at this point. I'm not. Yeah.
You're not Bob Saget levels where it's like, I'm going to be as dirty as I can just to be dirty. Like, you're casually dirty and like the rest of us, except for Aki.
Yeah. Who's Bob Saget dirty?
Yeah.
Yeah. Easy.
Quick shout out to Vertically Impaired, who just subbed for the 55th month. Holy shit.
So much wasted money. I am so sorry.
I like that I went on to Twitch to see, like, oh, maybe I could grab one of these codes that Carnage is dropping just to see what it is. And the Twitch site is streaming the Steelers game, and so I've yet to even, like, hop over to our thing.
There's a Steelers game tonight?
Yeah, dumbass.
Steelers run.
Fuck me. Amazon
Prime.
I don't want to brag or anything, but I've had it on my second screen this entire time. When you guys are blah, blah, blahing around, I'm watching this football game.
Is it on Twitch? Can I get it on Twitch?
I thought it was Friday Night Football. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's on Twitch, and it's also just on the Amazon Prime website.
Yeah,
motherfucker.
Joe's just like, yeah, fuck it, we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah,
shortest episode ever.
Steelers.
We need to speed run the rest of this episode. Just get through.
That ain't
Joe.
Gonna
if you
happen.
Need to record my reviews tomorrow night, we can do that.
No. We should probably get to news though. We have been chatting for a while. Is there anything you wanted to talk about that we didn't bring up, Ryan?
No, I mean,
or should we dive into news? Are you ready to tackle news with us?
Let's get ass deep into some news, everybody. Let's get
ass. What's the score, anyways? You guys can keep me updated on the Steelers game.
It's 14-13 Steelers.
And who are they playing?
The Browns
are driving.
Fuck.
Yeah, the Browns quarterback, he's throwing missiles.
Damn.
Yeah.
Oh, they better. If they win, I'm celebrating with my new Baja Deep Dive Mountain Dew that I got today. If they lose, I'm crying. No, this one I didn't pay for. This one I won.
Ooh.
Yeah. If you entered, you win it? By drinking
of my gaping butthole.
By drinking lots of Mountain
Carnage
Dew.
Carnage just raided us, so yeah,
Is this a thing where you're claiming that you like won it in the same way that like every 10 pizzas you order, you get the 11th free? Like,
close.
Like you didn't win a prize. You just
I wish I got
drink too much
pizza for every 10 I bought.
Close, but it technically was a prize. You had to drink each of the three Baja sodas that they released this past summer and enter the codes for them. And if you registered all three flavors, you'd be entered to win a six-pack of Baja Deep Dive, which is a mystery flavor. I don't know what the hell it is, but it tastes good. So,
did you read the ingredients?
No.
Oh, well, because, I mean, that might provide some clues.
Did you expect him to read the ingredients?
I mean, I don't listen to him when he's like, oh, the game costs X amount of dollars, so no, probably not.
First soda to talk about tonight is Baja Deep Dive, developed and created by Mountain Dew, contains carbonated water, high fructose corn syrup, natural and artificial flavor, citric acid. I don't see anything about flavor, so.
Okay. Well, there's I think it's Turkey Hills. They've got like a mystery flavor ice cream out right now, and all you have to do is just turn the thing over on this fucking side and read the ingredients, and it's blueberry pancake.
Oh, ooh, blueberry pancake, just like our lip balm. Ryan, did I send you lip balm?
You did.
What do you think of that lip balm?
It smells amazing. I don't use lip balm.
Does it help you when you blow people?
I mean, it doesn't hurt. The only bad thing about it is after I get done blowing somebody, now because it smells like pancakes, they want to stick around for breakfast. No. When I'm like, get out of here, that's all right? The worst. That's the problem. So actually, this lip balm is ruining my life.
There.
Everyone's just like,
you're welcome. You
know. Yeah, this, I don't know if that's the endorsement you want. Ryan Nemo, our celebrity endorser. This lip balm ruined my life.
It takes you back to when you used to blow people out behind Waffle House.
I'm going to clip that and send it to Norg and get him to do a new commercial.
There we go. Perfect. You're welcome.
It's ruined my
drop
life.
It, bitch!
I'll give you that one for free.
Sweet. Oh, man. So, yeah, news. Let's get to the news. The big breaking news out of Xbox this week. Has anyone heard this? Massive, massive news. You can now change the color of the LED on the Elite 2 controller.
Oh.
Cool. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I thought it was them saying you're never going to get the blades from the 360.
Oh, no, you're never going to get the blades.
No. I mean, they said that, too, this week. Like, because apparently it just doesn't fit with their ideas of what, you know, they need to be able to do on the dashboard, a.k.a. we can't show you enough ads.
People forget. They showed a lot of ads on those dashboards on the blades, too. Like, the blades weren't perfect. They were slow. They were sluggish. They didn't show that much.
You're slow and sluggish, yet we still want you around.
And you show too much.
That's true.
Drop who it, who was here
at the start of the show and who wasn't?
Me?
I was there at the beginning of the show.
Staggy, thank you for the 46 bits this time.
Oh, you mean like, oh, the beginning of this particular episode? Yes. I thought you meant like, oh, okay.
Yes. Drop it, bitch!
Yeah, probably Aki.
Followed by one more bit.
She doesn't shit her whole ass out.
No.
Jesus.
No, I do not.
Jacob, do you shit your whole ass out? Is that what you're saying?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Depends on what I've eaten.
I'm no doctor, but see a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
like if the whole ass is leaving. This is the best news segment of all time. I think we're doing pretty good here.
We are. Game Pass. A lot of games hit Game Pass.
Game Pass.
Ooh. Something isn't being removed.
Bits. Yes, Aragami 2 is not leaving Game Pass. That was some fun news. There are a bunch of games that are leaving, but we're going to talk about the ones joining Game Pass first. Earlier this week, we got Hardspace Shipbreaker and Deathloop, which was a day one release on Xbox, right to Game Pass.
I'm looking forward to playing that one.
Me too. I'm looking forward to playing both of them, actually.
September 22nd, today, we got Spider Heck, which was a day one launch. Beacon Pine, which is a day one launch. Stagorilla's dropping more bits, which is not a day one launch. But Slime Rancher 2 is a game preview day one launch. So that's three more games today. All day one launches.
What's that last one?
Slime Rancher 2, Beacon Pines, and Spider Heck.
Cool. I approve.
I know a lot of people are excited about Slime Rancher 2. September 27th, Grounded will be hitting full release, and we will also be getting Moonscars Day 1.
Ooh.
Which I know Tim is excited about Moonscars, so expect to hear his thoughts on that eventually. September 29th, Valheim is hitting PC Day 1. And cool. Let's Build a Zoo is going to be a day one launch on Game Pass.
That game looks so fun. I'm super excited for that one.
It looks cute. It really does. And then the big game, the big dog of the month, September 30th, Jacob, Paw Patrol Grand Prix is a day one Game Pass launch.
Hell yes. Therefore, I don't have to spend money on it.
But you will eventually.
I mean, it's no Garfield cart, but we'll make it work.
Yeah, which as soon as I found out that they announced a new Garfield game, I was just
Yeah, apparently there's three new Garfield games in development. That's the first of three.
What?
That they promised. Yes.
Oh my god, it's going to be the best trilogy ever.
The trilogy of
It'll
all
be more trilogies. Iconic than Super Mario Brothers.
Man, Mario can only wish to be that good. A lot of games leaving Game Pass, though. This is the bad news. There's a lot leaving. Like, a whole lot. AI the Somnium Files is gone on September 30th. Astria Ascending. Dandy Ace, which I want to pick up. That's like a Metroidvania-style game. Dirt 4 and Dirt Rally are both being removed from Game Pass and EA Play, as well as their servers are going offline, so those will probably be delisted completely as well. Going Under, Lemnis Gate, the original Slime Rancher, Subnautica Below Zero, Procession to Calvary, Unsighted, and Visage are all leaving. Or Visage. I don't know. Whatever.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah. A lot of games leaving, so for all the new ones coming, we are losing a bunch, but hey, pros and cons. That's what happens with subscription services.
I think it's always unfortunate, but there's more on there than anyone has time to play anyway.
Yeah, so there's like 400 games on Game Pass.
Yeah, not even counting the extra stuff on PC Game Pass as well. Yeah. So,
any Game Pass additions that have you excited, Ryan?
I'm more excited about some of the stuff. Not necessarily this month. This month didn't really, you know, light my fire specifically, but I'm excited about we have Persona coming up here pretty soon, and I believe they announced that Ni No Kuni is going to be Game Pass as well.
Yep,
when those come out, so that has me
the first
excited.
One's already out.
Oh, is it already out?
Yeah, it launched straight to Game Pass.
Yeah, that's very exciting. That's got me going. So some of the indie stuff, some of it ends up being really good, but I don't. They, by name alone, they don't always get me. It's more I'll try this out, and then it ends up being really fun.
Ni No Kuni was a really cool addition, though. Like, I'm thrilled to see that on Xbox finally.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing it one day.
There was a very real Grand Theft Auto 6 leak this past week, with pictures and like 90 videos of an in-development build appearing online. Rockstar said the leak would not affect development, so they pretty much confirmed it was a legit leak with that news.
Well, people have actually looked into the stuff, and it appears that the leak was basically from a bunch of stuff from like 2019 or something.
Yeah, it was pretty early build stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still the first like substantial look we've had at the game, and I thought it looked, you know, temporary graphics and like hitboxes aside, I thought it looked really good.
I didn't look at it, but I'm not a big GTA person. But the guy who put it up, he has apologized publicly, and I'm still waiting for him to get sued all to hell.
Yeah.
He did sign an NDA.
Yeah, I love when these guys too. Like, I think if it was a game no one cared about nearly as much, he wouldn't have apologized. But I think GTA 6 is such a big anticipated game that I think he got more flack than he was expecting.
Yeah,
because people don't. I don't think people want to have it spoiled because it's like such a bigger thing. I mean, there's always going to be people who, there's a market for that. Some people want to see it, but I think this one, more people just want to be surprised by it, that it didn't work out the way he wanted.
Yeah,
he admitted he did it purely for clout. It's like, yeah, that doesn't work, buddy.
Yeah, well, other news, Xbox claims it has not given up on getting Final Fantasy XIV on the Xbox, despite it being a few years without any news.
So. Has he given up on Final Fantasy VII Remake? Because I kind of feel like it has.
I think if anyone, Square's given up on that coming to Xbox. I don't know if they're ever going to do it at this point. Who knows? Square's getting weird with their Xbox releases. Like, Dio Field Chronicle made it. Star Ocean's making it. But, like, Valkyrie Profile or Valkyrie Elysium didn't make it. Like, yeah, why not one?
This is sheer speculation that was kind of alluded to when some court stuff got leaked. But I think some Sony is paying for exclusivity and some they're not. And the ones that they're not, Xbox will get.
Yeah, eventually, I'm sure. But I guess we'll see. Square does what Square wants, and they usually charge full price no matter what. So
yeah, there you go.
It's a big bummer.
Got to get that Square Enix tax. Speaking of Valkyrie Elysium, the PS4 and PS5 version of Valkyrie Profile Lenith from the PSP is delayed to December 22nd to improve the quality of the title. Valkyrie Elysium is still launching as planned on the 29th. It's cool to see Valkyrie Profile Lenith was coming to PS4 and PS5. It sucks it's getting delayed, but you know, better late than never.
Yeah, sure.
This is just another PSP game that you can play on PS4 and PS... You know, they have like 6 games available, so at least this is another one available.
I don't know why they can't just play all of them if you own them digitally. For that, I mean...
They're pulling Nintendo's drip-feed bullshit. Just like release everything. I hate the drip-feed, especially as, you know, like you're saying, stuff I already own... Give me access to what I already own.
There's absolutely no reason not to.
Oh, man. Last bit of news I have. Jacob, you'll be excited about this one. Marsupilami Hoop Adventure is getting a hidden world expansion for free November 17th with new enemies, new collectibles, a hard mode, and 10 new levels.
Dope. That game was pretty good.
Yeah. Free update.
Those are always cool.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my news. Aki, you got anything?
No.
Nothing that isn't Twitter related, I guess.
Not really.
Jacob, that's any news on your end?
Where she got all her news was on Twitter, and now.
Yeah, actually, that's where I got a lot of it from, yes.
Tiny Tina's Wonderlands was so successful, Gearbox is going to be spinning it off into its own franchise.
Good for them.
Yeah, I still haven't played it yet, but you know what else is fucking new?
Nothing.
That's pretty. Yeah, no. That's pretty much all I have.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I can't make it over to our Facebook page quick enough. So
no movie news, really?
I could look it up.
No.
Sonic, Hedgehog.
God damn it, Aki! Why are you encouraging this now?
Movie news.
It amuses me.
Ba-ba-ba.
Joe, I thought we established I am a bad person. Of course I'm going to I'm going to fucking support.
Yeah, there's nothing. There hasn't been anything new since August.
Well, what about other interesting movie news? Do you got anything? Don't be a failure.
Well, I know that the Mario Brothers trailer is going to get released at Comic-Con.
Okay, cool. That seems kind of interesting. I want to see how badly I want to see how bad that is.
Honestly, it's going to be by Illumination, so at the very least, I think it'll be pretty well done. I mean, there are no Pixar, but every single one of their movies so far has been solid. I mean, I've had to watch them with my kids, so
I like Illumination, but I don't. Some of the voice actors just.
Well, I don't think
fit the role at all.
Chris Pratt as
exactly.
Yeah,
I don't know. We'll see what I'm excited to see what he does with the voice. Like, I hope it's not just his normal voice.
It probably will be, realistically speaking.
It probably will. Yeah.
Fuck.
I think DeVito would have been a better Mario.
No, person. DeVito would have been a better Pikachu.
I don't get that
Detective
one,
Pikachu, but... he would have been perfect.
Really? I don't know about that.
Oh, man. Registration for MAGFest is opening next week. So if you are interested in going to MAGFest in January, keep your eyes open for registration to go live next week. I believe it said the 28th it's going live. It's $125 this year.
Is that more expensive than previous years?
Or? Yeah, it was $110 last year.
Okay.
It was like $85 pre-pandemic.
Jeez.
So it's been jumping up. But, you know, with the pandemic happening, last year was significantly less attended than other years. So hopefully they bounce back. I don't know how things are going to look this year. It seems like most of the world is acting like it's normal again, but at least MAGFest is still like vaccinations are required. Masking will be required. So that's cool.
Yeah. For things like this, the only thing I worry about is that they're increasing the price, which puts some people off from going, which means less people. And there's already going to be less because of the pandemic. And that just requires them to make the tickets more expensive. And it becomes a very vicious cycle that screws them. And that's what I'm worried about more than anything. Because I've seen things do that before, and it's never good.
Nah. Well, I'm going to make it there. I got to make it. It'll be the 20th MAGFest.
Oh, wow.
I can't miss it. Ryan, have you ever considered going to MAGFest?
I consider lots of things. As a unofficial agreement I've made with my wife, I will not be going to many events of any kind next year. Because I kind of already spent a lot of money on WrestleMania tickets.
Oh, shit.
Yes. So a couple of my buddies from Louisville, a couple funny comics I've known for years, they are flying out because it's in L.A. this year. They're going to stay at my house. We're going to drive up. So that is my my event travel budget for most of 2023.
Damn. That's WrestleMania. Fair.
Yep, I haven't been to. Well, I went to WrestleMania 27 in Atlanta years ago, and I haven't been to a Mania since. I'm very excited.
I have never been to a Mania. That's like on my bucket list. I'm really, really hoping that with it being in Philadelphia, we can make that one happen.
Yeah, well, let me know. Maybe we can.
When's it gonna be in Philly
for 40 in 24? I think it is.
Yep.
Okay.
Being 24, let me know. We can
if
we can
I live that long.
Yeah, just let me know. Like I maybe will fly out 4:40, and we can shove commemorative chairs up each other's asses. That'll be nice.
Sweet. I'll bring the lube.
There we go.
Whoa! You
amateur. Yeah, I was gonna say amateur.
Hey, if we're going sideways, I need some lube.
Yeah. Well, you got some time to fix that.
Yeah, it depends on how, you know, which direction you're going, I guess.
His prolapsed asshole is never getting fixed.
Jesus Christ.
See, shocking content on YouTube is going to be set to large amounts.
Is it war?
Much like the things shoved in Joe's ass.
Yeah, good times. Should we get to reviews?
I've got one last thing of news.
Okay, what do you got?
So there's going to be a Gran Turismo movie coming to you from Sony and PlayStation. Because
we already have one of those. It's called Fast and the Furious.
Supposedly that's ending. And also, the Need for Speed series never took off. So, you know, we have this. And it's going to be David Harbour, who's going to be our hero. And Orlando Bloom is also going to be in it.
Ooh, I like Orlando Bloom.
Yeah, Orlando Bloom's a handsome boy. I'm okay with that.
I don't know who the other person was at all. But
did you see the latest Hellboy?
No.
Have you seen Stranger Things?
I know of Stranger Things, so I might know the character. Okay, I think I know who you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
Orlando Bloom's pretty. I'm good.
I mean, he's no Hugh Jackman, but, you know.
No, he is not. No.
Which, by the way, the last performance of The Music Man is going to be January 1st. So, you know, if you're going to go see him on Broadway, you better go buy your tickets, Aki.
Yeah, that's a bit too far a distance. But otherwise, I totally would. That is something I would totally go watch.
Ember's asking, have you gone to GameStop to get your free PS5 copy of Babylon's Fall? I've heard some of the stores are either trashing it or giving it away for free.
I saw that up on Kotaku. happening.
I might have to check mine then. I'll always take a free game. I don't care.
Drop it, bitch!
I was honestly considering buying that game, and then that weekend they're like, we're shutting it down in February. I'm like, I'm glad I didn't spend $20 on that.
I mean, you could have 100%ed it in that period of time, probably, if you actually played it.
This should be fun. Horror Acolyte just redeemed. Well, F. That means none of us can swear for the next 10 minutes.
Oh, no. Does that include me? Am I part of your channel thing?
I don't know.
I will say, if ask them, because I'm not in the Twitch chat right now. If they feel it applies to me, I will play along. I am a guest on your show. I don't want your show to be unsuccessful. I got you.
Oh, our show's already unsuccessful. We're a proven commodity in that field.
I just want to play by the rules. That's all I'm saying. So if I'm not allowed to curse either, I'll be a good boy.
No, they're saying all or nothing. Carnage says, don't flip and curse, Ryan.
All right. Can I still imply things? Can I talk about putting things in my anus instead?
Yes. Okay. Anus is a medical term. It's
not saying the curse word, so yes.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. Then yes.
I just can't talk is the problem. Yeah.
So we'll,
you have to shut up.
Drop it.
And the Stag World is dropping 20 more bits. So let's get to the reviews. Jacob, you could start things off. Hopefully you could watch your language. But first game to talk about is Metal Hellsinger, developed by The Outsiders, published by Funcom, released September 15th on Xbox Series X and S and PS5 for $39.99, available on PC for $29.99. Metal Hellsinger is a first-person rhythm shooter where you embody the fury of metal music and vengeance as the unknown. Tear through 8 levels of hell armed with a powerful demonic arsenal as you slay to the beat of a metal original soundtrack. Across an ocean of demons stands the Red Judge, ruler of the hells, and you're going to take back what she stole, your voice. Jacob, what's going on in Metal Hellsinger?
So this is the most Christian game since Super Noah's Ark 3D on the Super Nintendo. I mean, it's as you described. You're playing as this woman demon who has had her voice stolen, and she is going to kill everyone in her path to get her powers back. And with it, you have all sorts of weapons. Like, you've got swords, you've got shotguns. It's very reminiscent of early Doom, which for this game at first, when, like, because I'm so used to playing shooter games where you're like, you're able to explore and, like, you know, find all sorts of secrets or different paths or, you know, just whatever. This game is very linear. It does not want you to explore, and that's because it's tied in with the whole rhythm beat, how you're supposed to, you know, move and shoot and reload, all that kind of stuff. The whole game is sound based, so first off, I'd highly recommend popping in headphones for this.
Oh, absolutely.
because it has an awesome metal soundtrack. And I know that the singer from System of a Down worked on it. There's probably other famous names that I don't know.
Yeah, Matt Heafy from Trivium, Randy Blythe from Lamb of God, Alicia from Arch Enemy. There's a few others. I can't remember all of them, but it's a crazy lineup of vocalists.
Yeah, and it's a totally awesome soundtrack, too, which thankfully, as you progress through the game, you actually unlock the tracks. So if you just want to listen to them, like, in the game, like, without playing, you can totally do that. But yeah, so you're moving through all the areas, and it's easy to get from point A to, I mean, it's easy to know where from point A to point B is. Getting there is a whole nother issue. And even though I was playing this on the the easy difficulty, this game is still incredibly, incredibly hard.
Oh, it's a tough one. It is.
Part of it is the fact that you just have to get used. Like, I mean, you can't just shoot every, I mean, you can, but it's not going to do as much damage. The whole thing is, like, you're trying to shoot to the beat, which sounds really weird, and it's going to take you, it most likely will take you a little bit to get used to it. Like, it certainly has for me, but, you know, once you get that whole rhythm down, you know, it's a very satisfying game, especially like when, like, you've just beaten everybody, your health is at zero, but you, like, you're able to make it into the next area. Yeah, it's a really fun time, and it's just, it's really challenging. It looks great. It's gonna, like, I mean, there is a level of difficulty, not only like with your enemies and stuff like that, but also with the gameplay. But once you get used to it, as I said, it becomes second nature, and it's really like you start noticing how, like, your actions will actually go with the beat too. Like, even like reloading your gun will go along to the beat. And I just, like, it's a really neat concept. And this is something that easily could have gotten fucked up and, like, just like
could have, you know, I'm sorry. Could have what?
Oh, fuck.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
10 more minutes now.
Now we got to start the clock over, Jacob.
Why did you?
Anyway,
this is going to go into my reviews now.
So good. Maybe I
can't do reviews like this.
I wish I could say that I did this on purpose, but I didn't.
Good thing Jacob has a ton of reviews first.
Anyway. So, all right, you keep interrupting me. I'm going to, like, start just cursing anyway. Shoot. Now I don't even remember what the heck I was going to say.
This is a game that you really, really need to get into to succeed at. Like, this is something where, like, you need to be bobbing your head to the music or tapping your foot to the music just to keep on beat and on rhythm. And it is so fun once you actually, like, get into the game and get surrounded by enemies and you're, you know, hitting the shotgun and boom, click, boom, click, boom, run, boom, boom. It just, once you get that timing down, it is just so satisfying to blast through everything.
Yeah. Now I do remember what I was going to say. Like, this, they could have easily not made a particularly good game. And this would have just been, you know, left to, like, the top 10 gaming disappointments of whatever. But thankfully, this game really pulls it off. It's very difficult. And I caught myself on that one. It's very difficult, but it's totally worth your time. And I'm glad that, you know, it's on Game Pass for those who want to try it. But I just, you know, I highly recommend it. Just be forewarned, you know, us white folk are going to be at a disadvantage with, you know, trying to keep a beat. But it's worth your time.
$30 on PC, $40 on PS5 and Series X and S. This is not available on PS4 or Xbox One. What are your thoughts on the pricing? What do you go?
Totally. Yeah. This is a very satisfying shooter. I don't know of any other ones like it. So yeah, it's definitely worth checking out at the very least.
Cool. All right, next up is a game called Last Beat, developed by Seven Raven Studios, published by Total Console, released September 13th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $9.99. Vanquish the Mad Stroke gangs across 8 levels. Punch and kick your way to defeat enemies. Use melee and throwing weapons to defeat the most powerful bosses. Collect bonuses, enjoy special shots, race your motorbike at full speed in the bonus stages, earn money to unlock additional characters and secret images from a rich gallery. Ryan and Jacob, both of you played this one. Ryan, how about you tell us, what is Last Beat?
So Last Beat, to give it just a on the surface comparison, it's essentially a new take on the Kunio-kun games. Just upon looking at it, it looks like Double Dragon, River City Ransom. It has that aesthetic to it. It is a beat-em-up in that regard. Of course, it's hard as balls. That's not cursing, right?
No,
balls are clean, right?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully. Mine aren't, because I haven't showered yet. But generally speaking, they're clean. So the way this game almost works a little bit too like a roguelite game, because when you start through on level one, for instance, you earn coins, you earn gold, you earn money that you can buy upgrades for that'll help you out later on different runs. The one thing I did, musically, I loved the game. I thought aesthetically, it's got that cool 8-bit look to it. The game's too hard.
It's got a weird 8-bit look to it. It's got I don't know how to describe it. It looks like 7-bit, maybe?
Yeah, maybe 7.5-bit, the first game, and 7.5-bit. I think it has a cool aesthetic, but yeah, it's not an exact, you know, it's not like Shovel Knight level of like 8-bit, but it's got a cool look, and I like the music. It's very, the music brings you back to, you know, playing Double Dragon type games and stuff. I really like that. It's just too hard. I played on easy. I got to level 3 consistently, and where I got frustrated with this game, that if they tweaked this a little bit, I would have had a lot more fun with it, is that like when you buy these upgrades, it takes a long time to save the money to buy the upgrades, and then the upgrades are one use only. If it was just making you stronger, you know, for future run, then awesome. But like, you buy them, and then if you die, now you need to grind that money again to buy them again.
Sucks.
I found that to be very frustrating. I like that it like lets you get those perks, but like, if they're not going to be permanent, it honestly, the amount of grinding you have to do for this game is not worth the payoff I was getting from the levels.
Man,
Jacob, it's fun. It plays well. I actually like when I'm actually in the levels, it's fun. Like I like that part of it.
Like, the mechanics are sound and everything.
Yeah.
It's a solid game. I mean, and one of the nice things is if you're an achievement whore like all of us, like, you can pop a bunch like on your first playthrough, like by the time that you're dead.
I 100%ed it in 45 minutes as far as achievements went.
Nice. So it's one of those titles.
The thing that like it frustrates me, and maybe you agree with this, Jacob, is that the game is like tough, and like I want to see more of this game. I think that's why I'm pissed off. I don't feel I should have to grind.
And there we go.
For so much.
I heard pissed off on the show Hey Dude on Nickelodeon as a kid, so I'm letting that slide.
Yeah, as I say that one, you can say I could say pissed off on AGT, and they are strict AF on things you can say. So that one, I'm allowing it.
Wait, so are we going with early 90s Nickelodeon censorship rules? Because that means that crap is allowed to be said, because that was said on Ren and Stimpy.
Crap is very much allowed to be said. Crap is never off limits.
I don't know. Some people consider it to be a curse word.
Crap?
Some people are stupid.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're all here.
Crap's the clean version.
True enough.
No. I meant stupid. Stupid.
Stupid's
fine. I was agreeing with Aki. No.
Anyway.
Oh my god.
Anyway, Last Beat.
The point I'm trying to make, I want to see more of this game. I want to see more. I want to see more of the levels, but I'm not going to put in 15 hours of just grinding coins over and over again so that I might have a shot to get through the levels. Like, it's that was too frustrating for me. Might, just for the sake of completing the game in full one day, try to do it again, but that didn't feel, for the amount of fun I was getting, it wasn't worth grinding level one over and over again just to do a coin grind to maybe get through later. It feels like a game that's almost there, and I think you get that a lot with indie titles. This is like 75% of a fun game, and that 25%, if you just tweaked a couple of things, it would be fantastic.
So what all would you do to fix this and make this a better product? Like, clearly you want to make it through the game, so make it more accessible in terms of, like, extra lives, extra continues, stuff like that.
Part that, and just if you're going to offer a power-up system where you can, like, purchase things in a shop, make those be more permanent. Make it actually be where your character's getting, or lower the prices on them. Because it was very expensive. Like, any run of, like, level one, I was getting, I don't know, 1,800 to 2,000 coins, something like that. The power-ups all cost 10,000 to 20,000 a piece.
Jeez.
So you have to run through that first level over and over. And if you don't finish the level, you don't get credit for the coins. So, like, doing a run and like getting to the end boss of a level and dying, you don't get anything that you worked for there. So it feels like you're being punished for trying a little bit.
Yeah, that's kind of frustrating too, because I mean, it's just like, if that's what's required to get you, like, more powerful and stuff like that, or at least like a better chance at succeeding at the game, then why are you going to punish it, like, by, you know, you didn't finish the level, so you don't get anything at all? Like, I don't, the thing is that there's better indie beat 'em ups out there, but, like, I think it could be a lot better with, like, some small tweaks, you know, as Ryan was saying as well.
Well, the game's $10. What kind of verdict do you guys have?
I'd give it a try. As I said, I mean, there's more solid indie titles for the same exact price or less in the beat 'em up genre. But with some tweaks, I'd say it's a buy it with some tweaks.
Yeah, there's fun to be had, but I'd wait for a sale personally.
Sounds good. All right, well, Ryan, that is it for you. Thank you so much for joining us. We love having you on. Come back next month for Talktober.
I will try to make that happen. I got your message on that. I haven't got to look at my calendar yet, because I am on the road a little next month.
Ooh, where do you got some shows? Pimp them out.
October 7th and 8th, I'm at the Comedy Club of Kansas City in Kansas City, Missouri. And then in October 13th through 15th, I am at the Skyline Comedy Club in Appleton, Wisconsin. Get those tickets. Come see me.
Appleton, and then, isn't that where Chris Jericho won his first Money in the Bank?
It's possible.
I'm the only one who gets that joke. It's a weird fact to know.
No, it's not even a fact, because he never won Money in the Bank.
He quote-unquote invented it. But yeah.
You know, he didn't win Money in the Bank. Yeah, I did. Where?
I love Appleton's great.
Appleton?
Yeah, Appleton's great. I'm a little nervous to go back there, only because the last time I was in Appleton, it was the weekend that the world shut down in 2020.
Ooh.
So while we were there, there was just like this weird aura of like, are we going to finish these shows? Like, what's happening here? And then we finished the last show, and the next day, basically the world shut down. So if the world shuts down in October, my bad. I just can't go to Appleton anymore.
Yeah, it's officially your fault.
Yes, I will take the blame.
Cool. Where can people keep up to date with you and what you're doing?
Cripplethreat.com for my calendar and all that. And then Cripplethreat8 on all the stuff. Follow me on there. Like I said earlier, I have my own video game podcast called Video Game Pizza Party. You can find that where podcasts happen. I also have been doing a review blog. It's Cripplethreat. It's called Ryan Ranks. I just kind of rank video games. You can look it up that way. I can't remember the website off the top of my head, because I'm bad at promoting myself, everybody.
Hey.
But yeah, find me on there. I'm still on Twitter, so you can you can follow me there, CurpleThreat8. And say hello, come to a show, and I appreciate you having me on, as always. I'll definitely make it a point to be here next month.
Sounds good. You have yourself a wonderful night, and thanks for joining us.
I appreciate you. Later on.
Peace.
Stay sexy.
See ya.
All right.
Has it been 10 minutes yet?
Yes, it has.
Oh, thanks.
I like how your microphone still cut out when you said that, so you didn't get to curse. Next game to talk about is Construction Simulator, developed by Welton Bauer Software, published by Astragon Entertainment, released September 20th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $49.99. Construction Simulator is back, bigger and better than ever. Take charge of over 70 machines, dozens of them brand new to the franchise, and build to your heart's content on two huge maps or on your own with your friends. Jacob, what's going on in Construction Simulator?
So, unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to try out the multiplayer, but I've been playing the single player quite a bit, and I'm not going to lie, this is pretty fun. So, in this game, obviously, it's a simulator game of like various construction vehicles, and the game does walk you through a bunch of, how to use different stuff, and then, of course, eventually, it's like, just read the damn manual, like, you know. Whatever, you've probably already know what you're doing. No, I don't, but thank you. So this town is dying, and everyone's leaving and all that other kind of shit. And then all of a sudden the water main breaks, and like your head of construction for the town is like, oh my god, we gotta go fix it, like otherwise even more people are gonna leave. And so that is how you start your journey with this. Actually, I lied. You start your journey creating your own character. I chose to be an Asian woman because I just decided to pick one at random. But, like, you know, you get to choose, like, whether you how you want to look, like hair color, hat color, hard hat color, I should say, all that kind of stuff. The graphics on that don't look particularly great, but then again, you're also not there for, like, you know, how your character looks, because you're going to be sitting inside all these construction machines anyway, so who gives a crap? And that's like where the real meat of this game is, obviously. And so you start learning how to operate. First off, you have to learn how to drive the truck, which, you know, I played around with it just to see if it was going to be like Lumberjack Simulator and, you know, just drive that all over God's Little Green Acre and try to mess up the truck. And it turns out like I couldn't. So I was vaguely disappointed, but at the same time, I didn't get it wasn't like Bus Simulator, which I also reviewed for Astragon. I reviewed that earlier in the year. So at least I don't get, you know, dinged for like crashing into other people's cars, like running over stop signs because, you know, I didn't stop at an intersection where I should have, all that kind of stuff. Thankful for that. But it was kind of fun, you know, taking like a tractor trailer and, going over a hill at like 80 miles an hour, and then crashing it into a tree. So you have to like learn how to operate different stuff, and it starts you off with a crane, and you have to like learn how to extend the crane, pick up stuff, put it onto the flatbed, and do all that other kind of stuff. And the manual does explain the controls, and theoretically the controls, you know, make sense, but, you know, reading the manual versus actually doing it in practice is a little bit difficult. And I'm not going to lie, I had some issues like trying to get the crane where it was supposed to go. And eventually, like, so far I've succeeded on every single mission that my foreman has given me. But, you know, I'm not going to lie, there are some missions, especially like where you have to like grab the motel electric or neon signs. Like, that thing's an absolute bitch, just trying to get them up onto the new like new location where it's supposed to go. It's not like the most fancy of games. I mean, like, you know, you can walk around the neighborhood if you want, and, you know, they reuse the same assets over and over again for the people, and the people don't really do anything. But as I said, you're not there to like investigate the neighborhood, although there supposedly are collectibles. I didn't find any yet, but, you know, supposedly they're in there. But yeah, it's a pretty peaceful game, and
one of those games that's shockingly more entertaining than you would expect going into it.
I was about to say I found it kind of peaceful in hey, did you like Power Washer Simulator, but wish you had the physics of driving in GTA? Well, here you go. and so this and Power Washer Simulator have become my new I'm just going to chill for an hour or two game. And I'm not going to lie, I was expecting to really not like this game, because I didn't like Bus Simulator. It drove me up the wall. Anyway, but yeah, this one I'm having a lot of fun with it, and I look forward to seeing what other machines I get to mess with in this game. There is a lot to it. You get to decide whether or not you're going to start in America or Europe. And both of them have different machines that you can use, different missions. Because European construction versus American construction, there's different laws and all that other kind of stuff that goes with it. I chose America first.
America.
I look forward to seeing how Europe goes, and I'm really curious about the multiplayer. If it's four guys sitting around with cranes, trying to build up a building or what. I may end up talking about this on a future episode as I get to explore it more. But this is definitely one I'm unexpectedly going to be keeping on my Xbox hard drive for a bit. So nice.
This is one I was kind of bummed we only got one copy of, because I would have loved to jump in and try it with you. Still kind of on the fence of wanting to try it with you. The only thing I'm worried about is that $50 price tag. Is this a game that's worth that? Because I look at something like Power Washing Sim that has so much content in there and it'll keep you busy forever, and that's only $25.
This is also one that's going to keep you busy forever, but also understand that you're dealing with a much bigger world. When I make a comparison to GTA on this, the scope is a little bit smaller, but you're still dealing with a pretty big map. You have to go from one city to the next to pick up stuff, and I've just been going between two cities. There may be more on this, I don't know yet. And so it's obvious that there's a lot to do in this game. So if you're worried about content, I would put those fears aside, but you may want here's the thing. I'm really enjoying it. I would pay $50 for it knowing what I know at this point, but I'd still want to put it as a try it. Is there a demo for this, Dino?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay. Because I was going to say, if there's a demo, absolutely fire up the demo and see what you think of it then after playing it for a couple of hours. But I'm really enjoying it, and cheap-ass Jacob would be a fine with the $50 price tag.
Cool. There is also a deluxe edition that comes with a customization kit and a car and bobblehead pack. Those packs are available for $3 each. Do you think they're worth looking at, or just focus on the game?
I would just focus on the game from the sound of it. A bobblehead pack? What are you going to do with it?
Put it on your dashboard?
Have bobbleheads that go bobble?
Yeah, but you're on your dashboard, you're only going to see the dashboard if you're in first person mode. A lot of this game is in third.
Okay, switch to first person mode while you're driving.
I tried doing first person in this, and I found it to be even more confusing than trying to navigate the camera in third person. The camera is a little weird, because in most games, you have to use the right stick to rotate the camera and stuff like that. But for cranes and stuff like that, you're moving the boom with that. And so it's just, you're stuck with the camera angle that you have. That's really my biggest fault with it, is that the camera kind of sucks at times, but you just need to, honestly, you just need to figure it out, because eventually the game does correct itself to give you a good angle. It's just, you got to find it first. So yeah, but honestly, for $50, I'm on board with it, but I'd still you might want to try it before you buy it.
Makes sense. Next game, Biomutant, developed by Experiment 101, published by THQ Nordic, released September 6th on Xbox Series X and S and PS5 for $39.99. A plague is ruining the land, and the tree of life is bleeding death from its roots. The tribes stand divided, in need of someone strong enough to unite them or bring them all down. Will you be able to bring those divided together and stop the plague? Jacob, tell us about your time with Biomutant.
So this was a pretty unexpected title. It's an action, I would call it an action RPG. I think that's a fair enough of assessment of it. And you play this like little, I don't want to call him a woodland creature, but,
that's what he is.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, it's like a mutant squirrel looking thing. I don't really know what it is. But yeah, humanity is gone. This is after some sort of like nuclear holocaust thing, and the only thing that's left are animals. And you play as this like last survivor of your town, or not so much like last survivor, but like your town got decimated. You wake up and with like barely any memories, and you pretty much just have to navigate this very, I mean, it looks peaceful and serene, but there is danger like lurking behind every corner. Not in like a Dark Souls sense, but like, you know, if you're looking for trouble, you can find it pretty easily. And there is dialogue in the game, but it's all like the animals, like language or whatever. But you have this narrator who, honestly, I really enjoy. It's a very calming British voice that also, you know, has plenty of sarcasm and wit to it. And he translates, you know, what all the animals are saying for you as well. So you have to move through, you know, this post-apocalyptic world, and these world eater things are moving through, and you have to stop them. And as, you know, Joe read with the description, you have to unite the tribes one way or another, either by killing all the tribes after joining up with this one tribe, or you can, you know, join this other tribe that's like, no, we need to unite everybody. And you also have this system of like, you know, good versus evil. And, you know, your actions will determine which one you're more siding towards. And of course, I always do good because I just don't have fun playing the bad guy in games. Like, I just never have. I can't do it in Fable. I can't do it in Mass Effect. And I can't do it in Biomutant either. It's just not fun for me. So I'm running through, you know, the land, and it does present backstory, you know, for this character, which, you know, are unlocked through memories as you go through different stuff. And there are side quests, you know, it's standard action RPG stuff, but there is a combat system in there, which, you know, you can choose different weapons. Some of them you'll find, some of them you can make. Because you can just put together the weapons, like, you know, let's say you want to put together a gun. You have a barrel, you have a handle, you know, you have some other crap that you attach to it, and you like, all right, I'm going to make this thing fire-based too. Like, whatever. You just toss all the shit together, and boom, now you have like some sort of like fire pistol thing, which works for me. So
yeah, and literally you're throwing together anything. Like, you can pick up plungers, and that is part of the gun.
Yeah, plungers. I haven't run into that yet.
Yeah, you can find plungers. Yeah, it's great.
Fantastic. But yeah, so you're running through this whole thing, and then you can update, you know, or not update, but like you can gain new abilities. And as you defeat more enemies, you'll get points for defeating enemies and completing quests, and, you know, you upgrade everything. And yeah, and you just go through it and let the story unfold. And so far I'm enjoying it a lot. Like, the graphics are beautiful on this. One of the things I had to double check, just because at the time I was baked. So I was like, oh man, that's a really cool detail. But I had to like check the next night just to make sure it wasn't just because I'm baked. But like, I had my character like run into the river, and then like I had got out on the other side, and I noticed like my character's clothes were like sopping wet for like a good like 5 or so minutes. And that kind of detail I just wasn't expecting in this game. I just thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with this, so I'd recommend checking it out.
Aki, you spent some time with the game. What are your thoughts on it?
I think it has some problems, but overall, I think it's a fairly enjoyable game. The weapon crafting system, I don't think works quite as well as it could. Namely because you have to break down stuff and use the items, but when you break them down, you don't get all the items you put into it back, and there's only a certain amount. And that same stuff, some of, like, when you put stuff together, you have to use scrap, which is also how you buy things. And I don't think there's an infinite supply of just scrap that you can get easily or anything. It's very slow to get it all. So I think they could rework the economy in the game a little more. But otherwise, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was super cute.
Cool. Well, the game's $40. What do the two of you think of it?
40 is an absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
And it is freshly released on the Series X and S and PS5. So you get that extra pretty look and shiny graphics and all that fun stuff. But next up is Paddles, developed by Lazy Ray Studio, published by Six Kings, released September 15th on Xbox One, Series X, and S for $4.99. Dash, deflect, and survive in Paddles. Simple yet difficult to master, Paddles is perfect as a pick-up-and-go party game to play with your friends anytime, anywhere. Jacob, this is Pong.
Yeah,
it's and Pong. Next game. Tell us about Paddles.
So, I mean, it is pretty much Pong. It's a four-player version of Pong, and what I liked about it was that there are different levels that you can play on as you go through, and it's different shapes. I mean, you can start off with a diamond shape at first, and sometimes like there's stuff in the like different shapes in the middle, which will cause, you know, the ball to go in different spots. And the longer that the game goes on, the more balls that get added to the game itself, and you only are allowed to have three balls go into your territory before your little robot paddle guy shuts down. And honestly, like, playing it as a two-player game, I thought it was pretty fun. Like, my wife and I were playing it one night, and it's pretty entertaining. So I do agree with the assessment, like, you know, this is a good party game. But playing this by yourself, I'm not going to lie, the AI is ridiculously hard. And I have yet to actually win a game in this thing. Like, it's just, like, it is punishing. And then you just end up sitting there and watching the AI compete against itself.
Yeah.
Like, and you do get the ability to boost. And, like, you know, if you choose, like, the, I mean, there is, like, a normal ball thing where it's just going to be the normal balls that follow whatever. But then other types of balls can get unlocked with the other game mode. I think it's just called other balls. I forget what it is, but it's something like that. But anyway, I never lasted in any game long enough to find out what any of the other balls, other than this like glowing purple one, which I don't know what exactly it did other than move faster. So I don't know. I wish there was more to this game. I like the idea of it, and I, like, as I said, I do agree. It's a decent party game, but it's also incredibly punishing, and you don't get particularly very far by your, like, playing by yourself. Yeah. So,
my real gripe with this was it just left me wanting more. On the store page, they do say free DLC is coming soon with more levels, balls, refined difficulty customization, custom cups, and more, supposedly for free. I don't know when that's going to come along. To me, that makes me feel that this might be like an early access kind of deal without being called early access. It makes me feel like we're missing half a game. And yeah, I wish there was more to it than that. I hate to be like, oh, I wish this game had online, because I know it would be a niche audience, and there, you know, randomly you wouldn't find people playing this if you were just to jump online at 3 a.m. and look for a game playing Paddles. But, you know, when you have a room full of people playing this, I can see it being an absolute blast. But as a solo person, even at $5, I have a hard time recommending this one.
For $5, I'm more okay with it. But again, like, you know, you're doing it as a party game, and I can see it, like, you know, people play it for like one or two rounds and that's it, and then moving on to something else. Like,
no,
I don't know.
Well, it's $5. What's your verdict?
for $5, I think it's a buy it.
I could feel comfortable giving it a fuck it, why not, because it's so cheap. I think being outright saying buy this is a bit much.
No. I'm not being like everyone must run out and buy this immediately. But I mean, really, for all right. So yeah. So reassessing, yes, it is a fuck it, why not?
Yeah, that's kind of what I feel like these are the games that rating was made for, where it's something it's only $5. So, you know, fuck it, why not check it out? It's not going to change the world, but, you know, it's
solid enough.
If you got friends, it's a cool time.
Oh, well, that just took away all of us and our listener base.
Yeah, I know. Next game is Akane, developed by Lucid Studios, published by DX Gameworks, released September 20th on Xbox for $3.99. Akane is a Akane is a top-down 2D action game in which you must eliminate as many enemies as possible before losing. It's a sword-fighting game with lots of blood, violence, and samurai move cliches, all mixed with the bright colors and futuristic suburban environments of a cyberpunk style. Jacob, what is Akane?
I thought we were doing this one next week.
Okay, then we'll do this one next week.
I mean, thankfully I played it. I mean, if we need to do a review, but yeah, I thought we were doing this one next week.
No, it was on the list for tonight.
Was it? Did I put it on the list?
Watches all of us immediately go to Facebook to pull up our message history.
Yeah.
There's me talking about Aki getting banned.
Oh, shit, it is on it. Oh, damn.
I got you, bitch.
Did I say I was going to do it? Or did you say I was going to do it? Oh, shit, I did say I was going to do it. Okay. All right, I'm good, though.
Okay, what's Akane?
Oh, shit. Okay, all right. I didn't know if you were going to reintroduce it, but okay. So, with this, it is you get shot once and you are dead, or slashed with a sword, whichever one you want to choose. And then you pretty much just have to restart the game, and hopefully you'll get a better, you'll get a better score next time. So you run around with a sword and a gun, and the sword is obviously slower, but the gun comes in handy in close combat. But you're pretty much just running around this like parking lot area, and you have to, you know, just kill all of these other people after you. And the game is difficult as hell. I mean, and that's the point of it too. I mean, this is for people who are looking for a challenge, and yeah, you gotta be real careful with how you're gonna go kill everyone. So like, if you use your sword, obviously you're gonna have like a wider radius and, you know, be able to kill people quicker, especially if you're using like a dash kind of stuff. But, you know, you can nail people from farther away if you're using your gun. But, of course, guns have to be reloaded, so you have to keep in mind of what you've got on you as you're going in between, in between your weapons. And so, yeah, it's just you punishing yourself over and over again to see how many people you can kill in one round before you get killed.
Self-flagulation.
What?
Self-flagulation. It's where you take and you beat yourself. Do you not know that word? Okay.
No.
I'm glad you're the one who fucked up with that one and not me.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is basically $4 to kill as many bad guys as you can before you die.
It's a fuck it, why not? It's not exactly my cup of tea. I was hoping, I mean, I don't know, like, the difficulty is pretty steep going in, and I know that, again, this is a game for people who are looking for a challenge and, you know, just trying to see how well they can do before they die. I don't know, I just wish the combat was like slightly easier, and it just felt, for me, it just felt like I just would hit a wall with this game. But
that's, you know, kind of the point of it. You're not supposed to win.
No, I know I'm not supposed to win, but it was just like, all right, yeah, you killed like 40 guys. And that's like, you know, like that just seemed to be my limit, you know? I don't know.
I don't know.
It's one. it's not a bad game. Definitely not. Like, it's definitely not one, a bad game, but if you're looking for, if you're looking for a challenge, this is definitely one I'd recommend. But if you're looking for something that, you know, is a little easygoing and then progressively gets better, or not better, but, like harder, yeah, I don't know. Like, this is not a game that's going to hold you by the hand. No. So,
but again, it's only $4. So
yeah, for $4, you know, yeah, fuck it. Why not?
Cool.
At minimum.
All right. That's it for you, Jacob.
Yay.
Yay. Go do butt stuff with Ryan.
Aw, yeah.
Yeah, buddy. Bow, wow. You have any final words? Right.
Farfanugan.
It's not even funny anymore.
Yeah, I know. It's just...
Not at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to think of something new to annoy Aki with, but unfortunately, she's banned from Twitter, so it's not like I can, like, scroll through all your shit to, like, find out what's pissing you off today. And otherwise, I just have to, like... talk to you, and frankly, no. Neither of us want that to happen.
No,
exactly.
So, you know, one night a week for like 2 hours is enough for both of us.
Maybe I'll make up a new Facebook and do nothing with it,
but still not tell us. You know, you know what your name is, so then, like, you know, we can look you up and tag you and stuff. Which of course doesn't even matter.
To be fair, she did tell me her last name, and I was like, I'll never remember that. I'll just stick with Aki.
Yeah. And then you didn't remember it. So, yeah, it worked.
It was like a really long one.
Yeah, well, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh,
like, well. At least Jacob only has Garner to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, Aki, did you actually say your last name? I missed it. I was reading what Carnage wrote. Okay.
No, okay. Not.
Are you going to reveal it?
I have
it?
Prior. No.
Oh, wait, you have
not Prior on here. This show? No, not on the show to Joe.
Oh. Well, that... Okay, thank God, because honestly, I was like, am I going to have to comb through, like, hundreds of episodes just to, like, find this out?
You'll be like Brooke trying to find out what Tim does for his job. For, like, the board with, like, the wires and, like, the red string going to from here. And like,
oh. I thought Tim was a teacher, isn't he?
No.
Oh. Yeah. Weird.
Anyway, next game to talk about is called Steel Rising, developed by Spiders, published by Nacon, released September 8th on Xbox Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $49.99. The city burns and bleeds as it suffers the madness of King Louis the 8th or the 16th. God, I can't do Roman numerals out of nowhere. And his violent legions of automatons, Aegis, a mechanical masterpiece created by the engineer Valkansen to be the Queen's bodyguard, must save the French Revolution in this challenging action RPG. Aki, what is going on in Steel Rising?
Okay.
What? Carnage redeemed.
I hate you. I hate you so much. You can't even comprehend how I hate you.
See, I actually planned for this because if you look at the redemption, it says 5 for Aki.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
This is terrible.
So you got 5 minutes. Go.
Okay. This is not going to be the easy one to do that on. So this is a Soulsborne game. Hence the not being vulgar, even if it's for 5 minutes, is very difficult. Oh, no. Okay. So, in this, you play as Aegis. She is an automat. A dancer puppet, basically. A mechanical dancer puppet. And one of the first things you do is you get to customize her by changing what her, for lack of a better word, skin color is. You know, you can choose from different types of woods or porcelain, so on and so forth. You can choose the different face and a very small selection of hairstyles. All that were popular way back when. So, cool. You also get to choose your opening class. There's two of them that do have heavy weapons, two that have light weapons. Doesn't really matter. The game just puts you at level 5 right from the get-go and just puts points based on which one of those you chose. So which one you choose doesn't really matter. You can very easily switch them later on in the game by just putting points wherever you want. It has a very interesting, outright unique class to it. Yes. One of them is basically an alchemist type individual. And with that, you get to use weapons that can like be set on fire or that shoot ice bullets, so on and so forth, as well as you can pick up explosives that do very much the same. And when you pick stuff in the engineering and alchemical stuff, it actually gets more damage and makes it easier to put status effects on enemies. Something that you don't see a lot in the Soulsborne type of games, because usually they are just pick up big sword, dodge, and hit things really hard, and then dodge a bunch more. And that's what they usually are. So this is that's why I say this is unique, because it's something you don't really get in Soulsborne games. It makes it stand out a lot. Sadly, they're nerfing all of that here before too long, so it's very upsetting. But again, Soulsborne players,
why would they nerf it? Like,
because Soulsborne players, the bane of the universe, decided to come in and say this stuff is too strong. You need to nerf it, so they're nerfing it. And I'm just like, and it's because, you know, there's places like what is it, Fed Extra or something like that, that they do different builds in different games and try to find really strong builds for lots of these types of games. And they had a few that were based on the elemental stuff, because again, that's what's unique. Because otherwise, grab the biggest sword, put everything into your physical ability and smack it. The end. Like every other Dark Souls game that has ever existed. You don't really need to make some special thing to be overpowered in that. Grab big heavy weapon that does lots of damage, put everything into whatever puts out damage. The end. That's Dark Souls. It's as basic as it gets. So, you know, I hate those people, obviously. Because I've set myself up to do this, because again, it was the interesting thing. I set myself up to do this, and now I'm starting to set myself up to do big weapon hit things, because that's obviously all that's going to be viable in the future, because Dark Souls fans are terrible. But otherwise, this is set during the revolution, basically, except for the king, instead of having all his soldiers shoot all the innocent people, and like, he has built this giant automat army that are doing it instead. And you happen to be the bodyguard for his wife, and she doesn't know where her kids are, so she's like, we need to stop this, because it's killing innocent people, and right now I'm basically in a prison, and the robots won't even let me out of this room. So I'm going to send you, my little bodyguard robot. You're going to go out, find out where my children are, and stop this stuff from happening. Because this isn't good for the country, and it's certainly not going to be good for me keeping my head. So, you know, that's basically your mission, and your mission just gets more and more complicated as you meet more people and they need your help doing other things. There's a lot of different robots for you to fight, which is really interesting. Some of them are more boss-like than others. So you got your big hefty ones. There are actual bosses as well. Most of the big ones start off as mini bosses and then just become semi-standard enemies, which are kind of difficult to deal with. But yeah, so there's a large selection of enemies, and it, as you continue through the game, you get to see more and more enemies. And even when you go to places you've already been to, after you get further into the game, all the enemies have been repopulated with different types of enemies, stronger enemies, so you're going to have a harder time. The game has something I do like, something that I've been pushing for since Sekiro. Yes, thank you. since that, I've because, you know, that's where everyone picked on was to go at that point. It has accessibility features. And I'm surprised Soulsborne players haven't been trying to get rid of these, because they're them. I really don't like the average Soulsborne player. I'm sorry.
I can tell.
But the accessibility options in this are, many of them are ones I've actually been trying to champion and be like, no, these should be in here, these specific ones for this reason. And here, I'll go through the entire list because it's right here. You can turn on assist mode. Sadly, right now, there is a glitch that if you turn it on, you can't get achievements. It's supposed to lock you out of certain achievements, but not all of them, which is why I don't know how long I've spent in this game. Joe, you can look up, but why I only have one achievement in the game, because I turned it on almost immediately. just like, this is cool! But you have something, obviously, to enable or disable assist mode, because you can turn it on and off as you see fit. But there's a damage reduction percent, and you can have it all the way from, obviously, there's no damage reduction to 25, 50, 75, or even 100%, so enemies cannot hurt you. They'll still knock you around, but they won't do any damage, which is nice. So you can kind of just run through it. There's also an option to keep your anima, which is basically your souls, the stuff to help you level up and buy stuff in the shop. You can keep that after death if you turn that on too. So cool. You got an endurance, regeneration speed, your stamina, bar. It goes real quick. I don't even know what it's like without that because I refuse to turn it off. It's so good. Because I'm bad at managing that. And then there's easy cooling, which just turns the cooling to where it's like one quick button, and it gives you a lot of time to do it. And basically what the cooling is because you're a robot, if you run out of energy, it's not a standard stamina bar like it is for every other game because you play as a person or some facsimile thereof. In this, you're actually overheating your character as you run out of your stamina. And once you're fully overheated, you can either just choose to let your body cool down naturally, which is the general refilling of stamina, or you can push a button, and if you have this option off, if you push it immediately after you hit to where you're overheated, it'll pop it up, but it'll also give you frost damage. And if you take enough of that, your body actually just freezes and enemies can beat the crap out of you and you can't do anything for a little bit. It does go away over time, obviously, and just doing this once isn't going to immediately freeze you, thankfully. And yeah, those are all the options in the assist mode, and they're amazing, because quite frankly, I tried beating the very first little mini boss you come to like for hours when I first played this, and I'm not good at these games at all. So I turned this on and I was able to beat all of them so far, and I've thoroughly enjoyed the game with all of this on very high.
See, that's how it should be, and they shouldn't punish you for doing that.
Yeah.
You have fucking 48 hours in this game.
I love this game. Yeah, this game is really fun when you can't get hurt. Well, the thing is, all the areas you go to, because you go to basically little cities, basically, and they're all filled with robots, and the robots have built barricades and stuff, so you have to figure out how to get around in these places, and sometimes you'll find some people that are obviously inside houses that you can talk to. It's not very common that you find them, but you can. Sometimes they'll have little side quests that you can do to go, like, one of them wanted water, one of them wanted some bread, so you find that and bring it to them, and sometimes they'll give you, like, an item or something. They're not particularly amazing items. It might be like, oh, here's a little vial of health stuff that isn't your, you know, the one that refills, and it's like, okay, cool, but it's nice just talking to them, because you can also learn information about bosses you're about to fight from some of them and stuff like that. It's really cool. And all of them freak out when you first approach them because you're an automat, and that all they've seen is automats destroying everything and killing everyone. And you have to figure out how to get through these environments. And as you beat the main bosses, you unlock new abilities, like one of them is a grappling hook. One of them's being able to kick through weakened walls and stuff. Things like that, which help you get one, two new areas, and for later levels actually allows you to actually get through them, because a lot of stuff eventually becomes put behind this stuff because you have it all, and why not make levels to where you actually have to use it? And they're fun to use, and some of them you can even use in combat. Like, you can use the grappling hook and the kick through weak things in combat, but it takes up the special capsules, they call them, which you get from enemies. You get a ton of these. I have over 3,000 of them right now, and it uses, like, one. And those let you use your weapon special ability, which, you know, some of them are you can shoot a bullet, which is a capsule. Others are like, I have a pair of tomfas that my character is currently using that when I use that, they shoot out a fire bullet, but then the tomfas are also on fire. So all my standard attacks also add to the fire bar on enemies. And once that's filled up, they're set on fire for a decent period of time, which does a pretty good amount of damage. I used to have an ice gun instead, freeze them.
I can tell you like this game because you're going on about it.
Yes, I absolutely adore this game. This is so fun, and I really wish they weren't nerfing the alchemical stuff, because this has been so cool playing with all this alchemy stuff. Like, setting enemies on fire with my tomfas, that's alchemy. Freezing people with my ice gun that I used to use, that's alchemy. They're nerfing that to make it harder to use those, so you don't get as much benefits. And I'm
maybe it won't be nerfed that bad. We'll see what happens. But as it stands for now, the game's sitting at $50. What are your thoughts on it?
Oh yes, totally. I suggest buying the Bastille version of the game even, because it has an extra level in it. And you can't buy that alone. It also has an outfit that you can buy separate, as well as early access to some weapon. I don't know which one it is anymore.
The discus chain.
Okay, yeah. You get early access to that. You can find that one in the game. You can also buy that if you want as well. But I would buy the Bastille edition, just because I would really like to know what's in that mission, and you can't get that mission.
Well, it's not out until November.
Right now. Oh, okay. Maybe that's okay. Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be buyable later on for like $10 or something, but it comes out in November.
Yeah, the moment that comes out, I hope we get it. Oh, I am excited for that already.
Cagliostro's Secrets Extension, which is planned for November and reveals the dark secrets behind the King's Mechanical Army. That includes a brand new area, new characters, a new enemy class, a new boss, a new weapon and its variants, and a cosmetic pack, which includes a complete outfit. So that'll be out in November. But yeah, you think it's a buy it at 50?
Oh yes, 100%. I love this game. This is so fun. And this, from what I understand, this isn't as hard as some of the harder Soulsborne games. I think it's still entirely too hard without the assist mode. Mm-hmm. But for anyone who plays those, this is going to be an easier experience. And it has a really good story to it, which Dark Souls games don't have. Any story to them, so you know, great plus. So yeah, please go buy this, it's fantastic.
All right, next up is Soulstice, developed by Reply Game Studios, published by Modus Games, released September 20th on Xbox Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $49.99. Sounds familiar. Explore a dark world brimming with hidden mysteries, master a diverse combat system, and inhabit the dual forces of two sisters in a coming-of-age dark fantasy story with fast-paced action, vicious enemies, and spectacular boss fights. Aki, this is one that a lot of people expected to be similar to Steel Rising and be a Souls-like based on the name Soulstice, but this plays a lot more like a Devil May Cry game.
Yeah, very much so. Has it been 5 minutes yet?
It's been much longer than 5 minutes.
Okay, Briar's fucking hot. this is very much a Devil May Cry type game. It's, you know, you get a bunch of enemies that appear and you just beat the shit out of them and you move on. It's very good that way. In this, you play as Briar, this skinny woman who's missing one of her eyes. Part of her face is apparently badly scarred, so it's all wrapped up. wearing this really cool armor and swinging this big fuck off sword. So obviously my type of woman, as well as her little sister named Loot, who I don't know if I can really qualify her as a little sister at this point because she's dead. She's a spirit, and she hangs off your character as this little blue fluttery spirit girl, and she's adorable. But they are basically part of an order where they destroy these corrupt creatures that are held past the veil in another world, basically hell. And they are called a chimera. What a chimera is exactly, I don't know, because the game doesn't exactly specify it, but they are people who have been made somehow to be able to fight this stuff.
Well, the store page says that they are two sisters who have been reborn as Chimera. The transformation has granted Briar superhuman strength and resilience, while Loot, sacrificed to bind her soul to her sisters, has become a shade with mystical powers.
Yeah. All of the Chimera have their abilities enhanced, and almost all of them also have a shade. They're usually created. Don't know how. Briar and her sister weren't created that way. They were a natural happenstance that no one knows how that worked. Because when they were younger, they were apparently attacked, and they just happened to turn into this stuff. It doesn't really go a lot about their past. It's mostly focused on the mission that they're currently on, because this whole game is a mission. They are sent to this holy city because there's been a tear in the veil, basically, and they need to go stop it.
I gotta mention this real quick. I said it was $49.99. Looking at the store page, it's $39.99. So I gotta to throw that update there quick.
Yeah.
My notes was wrong.
It's all good. It happens to the best of us.
And the worst.
I mean, look at my Twitter.
I can't.
Exactly. you guys are there, and the whole entire giant kingdom, basically, has been corrupted. There's monsters all over the place. Some of the people have been turned into monstrosities, and you're there just to kill everything. If it moves, it probably shouldn't. So you need to stop that. with the end result is you're supposed to somehow shut this terror that's, you know, in the sky. And you're a person, and this is medieval time, so I don't know how the hell you're going to do that. But I haven't finished the game yet to know how they do that. As you continue through the game, as you beat enemies, they drop red orbs, basically, that you use to increase Briar's abilities, that you can get unlocks. Their observer, because they're part of a three-part system, basically. The warrior, the shade, and then the observer is the third thing, which is just assigned to people. And he allows you to do upgrades during missions, and in between missions, you can also go and do upgrades just in the menu screen. And the red orbs that you get from killing enemies and breaking giant red crystals upgrade Briar's abilities and also allow you to buy items like healing items and so on and so forth. Whereas blue crystals that you find will have blue orbs, basically, that upgrade Loot's abilities, and they both have their own individual sets of trees. And yes, sets of trees. They don't have one, they both have multiple. Briar's are all for each one of her individual weapons, has its own little tree of like eight things you can upgrade in each one. Whereas Loot has four trees, and they're all over the bloody place. Some of them are for defense, some of them are for offense, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, you go around, you just kill the shit out of stuff. And the sisters, they have their little spats, but they love each other, which is really nice. And Briar does not like the Observer, but Loot is fine with him. So that in the interactions with the Observer are pretty funny. Because the Observer is kind of this snide little shithead. and it's great. And yeah, this game can get pretty hard at times. I'm playing it on like the easiest difficulty, and
this one has assists too, doesn't it? Some optional assists for like auto combat and auto countering, and
yes, it does. And those do not affect anything in the game. You can set all those on if you want, and it's fine. Auto counter, it'll automatically counter everything that it can. It does not do perfect counters, sadly. I really wish it did, because I can't do perfect counters to save my life, and there are some challenges that you can find in levels that give you upgrades for your health or for loot's energy bar, and one of them is for doing a bunch of perfect blocks and then killing all the enemies, and I usually get like one out of like the 10 or so I need, and I'm just like, I suck at this. Lots of them are just for killing all the enemies, or kill the glowing enemies before you kill all the others, or kill all the enemies in this room without breaking anything, etc., etc. It's stuff like that. They're just little fun diversions. They don't take too long. I think the longest amount of time you have is like 2 or 3 minutes. Between you going in there and the level automatically ending, because they're all timed. So yeah, but as you play through the levels otherwise, it counts how many points you get in your fights and adds them all up. And you get that by having lots of different multipliers that go into what you're doing. Like, if you don't dodge to avoid an attack, you get a multiplier for that, because that's a special little thing. If you don't take damage, you get a special multiplier for that thing, and it just adds to how many red orbs you get during the fight, and that's your point that you got for the level. One is for how quickly you beat the level, and there's a third one, but I don't remember what it is anymore, and those have different rankings from bronze all the way up to like diamond. And at the end, they tally up every single individual fight has all this stuff. And they add that to whatever's at the very end for all of them combined as well. And it gives you what your full score for that level is. And that gives you more souls the better you do. Red orbs, whatever. The better you do. So you can have just that little bit extra to money in order to buy stuff, but you can go back and replay levels whenever you want. If you've unlocked a level, you've played through it, I can go back and start the very first level anytime I want now, and I'm all really far into it, and then I can go back wherever I want, and all the souls that I make in that, I can then turn around and just spin, and I have all the upgrades that I've gotten throughout the rest of my time playing. I brought it in there, so you can play through this on the easiest difficulty over and over and over until you've maxed everything out, and then start working your way through the harder difficulties, because there's a bunch of achievements for the difficulties. Usually it's play it on this difficulty and get one entire mission where you have this total ranking, so on and so forth. It took me a long time to get any of them to have a diamond, and I did it on the easiest difficulty, but like for the next one, it's like platinum, and for the one after that, it's like gold. So the higher you go in the game, you don't have to get as high in scoring, but it gets hard. It's very much the Devil May Cry, you know, stylish stuff, basically. But yeah, I really enjoy these people, and it's very nice to get Briar. So
cool. Well, the game is $40. What are your thoughts?
Oh, hell yes. I'm all for this game. I love this game, too. I've thoroughly enjoyed both of these games.
Now, here's the question. Steel Rising or Solstice, which one has the edge, or do you think they're too different to compare?
Personally, I think they're too different to compare. Yeah, one's set in fantasy medieval times, and it's a Devil May Cry thing, and the other is a Dark Souls-type game set in the French Revolution. They're they couldn't be any further apart. They both have metal weapons.
One could be like a Korean dating sim with pigeons or some shit. That would be further.
No, thanks. I don't want had a full boyfriend, I think is the name of that one.
All right, well, we got one final game to talk about tonight that is called Beacon Pines, developed by Hiding Spot, published by Fellow Traveler, released September 22nd on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, and PC for $19.99. Something strange is happening at the old warehouse, and Luca and his friends seem to be the only ones taking notice. Sneak out late, make new friends, uncover hidden truths, and collect words that will change the course of fate. Aki, what is going on in Beacon Pines?
Okay, in this, you play as an animal person, everyone's animal people. So, and when I mean that, I mean they are literally animals who just walk around on 2 feet and can grab things. And you live in basically what used to be an agricultural area, due to some guy, he created this amazing fertilizer that allowed them to grow food super fast. And, you know, something happened at some point in the past and the guy died and now no one has any of that. So all their farms have been hit really hard. So the town is kind of failing miserably, I think is the correct set of words for that. So you're in a little sleepy, go nowhere podunk town. And you're just a kid. You're like 8 or something. I don't know exactly. And interact with the people. You can talk to them a little bit. And you're basically just following the story. And every now and then you get a pivotal moment, basically, where it branches the story. And in that, you don't make a choice, I'll just say this or this. Instead, you pick up words every now and then by doing various different things. And you can grab whichever one of those words that you want. They usually give you 2 or 3 that you can choose from. And that goes into a sentence that then changes the story to go in one direction or another. And you do not have access to all of these words at the start of the game or anything. You pick them up as you play through the game. And that often means that your little character goes to what we in the visual novel community call a bad end, where the little shit dies, as is life. And it gets you, so you get an ending there, and you also usually pick up words through that playthrough that you can turn around and go to the pivotal points that you've already gone through and place a brand new word in there to go a different path. And it's all about going through all the different paths to get to the successful end of the game. So you will play through every pathway. There, you have to. That is the point of the game. Some of them you'll get to choose which one you want to play through first. But by the end, you will play through this entire tree of options to get to the good end, just because you have to. In between interacting with people, you walk around and you interact with items and you get your character's opinion on different things. Like you might click on like a big dumpster and they'll be like, oh, it smells bad in there and it looks like there's gooey stuff in there. I don't want to get in there. If my friend was around, maybe they'd like to get in there and stuff like that. And it gets really twisted because you eventually find that there's some toxic waste-like stuff that's coming out of this factory in the back, and it does some weird shit. And you're trying to figure out what's going on in the town because none of the adults are going to listen to you about anything because you're like 8. Who listens to an 8-year-old? I mean, their kid. That's exactly how this game treats them.
Stupid kids.
Exactly. And that's exactly how everyone in the town treats them. This game very much goes with that. So it ends up being you and some of the other kids are just like, we need to figure this out. And you just gather information and knowledge from all the different trees you go through. It's a really cute looking game, even though it deals with some somewhat horrific shit. So yeah, it's really cool. I thoroughly enjoyed it. This is not just a straight up visual novel, so everyone can relax. You do get to walk around the town and stuff and interact with people and things. So yeah.
No, the game is $20 and it is also a part of Xbox Game Pass. So what are your thoughts on this one?
It's easily worth $20. Easily. This is the shortest of the three games that I'm reviewing, but I beat this in like 2 or 3 days. So it'll probably take you a week or so for most people who, you know, have lives and stuff. So yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was really cute. I really like the characters and their interactions, so I'm all for it.
Cool. All right. Seems like a good week for Game Pass between Beacon Pines and Metal Hellsinger.
Yeah.
Good shit. Good shit. That is it for this episode. Thanks to you for being here, hanging out. Thanks to Jacob, I guess. We'll put up with him. Big thanks to Ryan for coming on, hanging out with us. Make sure to go check out his pages and his socials and his other podcast, That Cheating Whore. Music.
Don't try to find my socials. It's not going to do you any good.
Yeah, it's not going to help at all. Music this episode, we're going to play a track off of the Metal Hellsinger soundtrack because I found songs from it. I'm going to fucking play one. And what do you think?
Sounds like a plan or something.
Something like that. I don't know. Music.
Ever.